First, lawyers with the Justice Department and the American Civil Liberties Union announced last week that they are unable to locate parents of 545 children separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. A federal judge ordered the government to reunite families following the end of the Trump administration's no-tolerance policy in 2018. Since then, many families that were separated at the border have been brought back together, but the organizations haven't always had success. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What thoughts or questions do you have about the situation? Are you concerned that the parents can't be found? What do you think of the Trump administration's no-tolerance policy at the border? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Jacqueline Stevens is a professor of political science and legal studies and founding director of the Deportation Research Clinic at Northwestern University. Jackie, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Before we dig into the history of how we got here, what is your reaction to this latest news?
It's alarming. It's not surprising. There's been a persistent problem in the government's ability to keep track of people throughout the system for a very long time, and this latest status report that came out of the litigation is consistent with that.
All right, give us a timeline, sum up for us a little bit, and I know it's a long and complicated story, of how we got there from initial family separation efforts to where we are now.
Right. Well, so what happened is before there was an officially announced policy of family separation, then Attorney General Jeff Sessions in 2017, in the spring of 2017, ordered his staff in the border states to prosecute anybody who is caught entering the United States without authorization under a misdemeanor statute. And that was a real change in policy. The statute, it's 8 U.S.C. 1325, makes it a misdemeanor to enter the United States without authorization. And typically, that's not used. Instead, people are detained and go through civil proceedings. They're not prosecuted criminally. But as a result of the spring 2017 order to prosecute people criminally, children were taken from their parents, and the parents were put into, jails where children weren't allowed. And so that really was the early origins of the program, but it was going on under the radar. And so it wasn't until there was an official, proclamation where the Trump administration was bragging about this a year later, with the zero tolerance policy, officially announced, that the outcomes of the children being separated began to be, on the radar of the civil rights community in the way that we're familiar with right now.
What led us to a point where judges were ordering families to be reunited?
Well, once this outcome was apparent, the ACLU and other civil rights organizations filed lawsuits, and there was a judicial order in 2018 that obligated ICE to try to locate and reunite children with their parents.
Why has it been difficult for this remaining group of 500 plus kids to be reunited with their parents?
Well, there was a steering committee that was set up as part of a settlement agreement, and the steering committee was composed of the ACLU and other civil rights organizations and immigrant rights groups in order for them to be able to have access to the data to try to locate the children. And, I just mentioned as an aside that isn't really the ideal way to go about this. I mean, instead of tasking nonprofits, it really should have been the government's responsibility to do this. And there were some people in the civil rights community who were not so comfortable with the arrangement that the ACLU pursued, having them take responsibility. It's not an obvious mistake, because there's reasons to be concerned about being able to trust the government. And so I think there were also some consideration, about the benefits of, having the nonprofits pursue this themselves. In the event, the problem right now is that There's identifying information that the steering committee has received from the government, but despite receiving this identifying information about the parents, most of whom have been deported, they haven't been able to contact them.
Talking to Jacqueline Stevens, professor of political science and legal studies at Northwestern University, founding director of the Deportation Research Clinic there, looking at the recent news that the parents of over 500 children separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border as part of the Trump administration's no-tolerance policy can't be located currently in an effort led by nonprofit groups. Jackie, what do we know about where the kids themselves are now?
It's really impossible to know. It's not just impossible to know where the kids are, but just to flag an additional problem, we don't really know how many children are missing. We only know that 545 children have been identified as being unable to be located. I'd like to read to you just a couple sentences from an Office of Inspector General report mm-hmm. that was produced in 2019 for the Department of Health and Human Services. And their key takeaway is as follows, quote, "The total number of children separated from a parent or guardian by immigration authorities is unknown," end quote. And they point out that there were, 2,700 that were initially identified, but they really just, there's really no way to know. So with that caveat, it appears as though most of them have been, are somewhere in the United States. And they may be in shelters, they may be in foster homes, they may be with relatives. And they also, and this isn't something that's been discussed, but it also is very possible that they may be in ICE detention. We don't know exactly where everybody is.
Is there an agency that, in theory at least, was supposed to be tracking all of the kids who were separated and where they ended up around the country?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Office of Refugee Resettlement is within the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're the agency that's charged with tracking all of the unaccompanied children in custody. That's that they're supposed to be taking care of them. And they actually, just to further clarify what's going on with that, a lot of the oversight points to the inadequacy of the databases in either missing fields or not being properly maintained. And something that's important to note is that these databases are actually contracted out to private firms. And one of the main firms that has the contract for this is General Dynamics Information Technology, which is a component of General Dynamics, which, if people aren't familiar with this, is the world's sixth largest military contractor.
We're talking to Jack.
Which is kind of ironic, right? Go ahead. Yeah?
No, go ahead.
Well, it raises questions about the kinds of organizations in which the United States government is entrusting the care and oversight of children.
We're talking to Jackie Stevens right now, professor of political science and legal studies and founding director of the Deportation Research Clinic at Northwestern University. Talk about the recent news that the parents of over 500 children separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border cannot be located. You can join in at 800-64, or their parents cannot be located. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this news? What questions do you have about this story? What do you think of the Trump administration's former zero-tolerance policy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the news that the parents of over 500 children separated from their families at the border haven't been found yet. Jackie Stevens is with us, director of the Deportation Research Clinic at Northwestern University. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. John is with us in Minocqua. John, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
Hey, one thing I just totally can't understand, I've heard several different places where they say some of the kids are with relatives. Why in the world wouldn't the parents be contacting any relative in the States just to find out where their kids are, or the relatives themselves contacting their relatives in the foreign countries? If I had a kid missing, I would be doing anything possible.
John, thanks for the call. Jackie, what do we know about that?
Well, you know, it's really not clear what the basis is of parents not being able to be contacted by the steering committee. And it is possible that among those there are parents who aren't able to be contacted and the child is with a relative. And the reason that the 545 parents are in that list is just that the ACLU hasn't been able to contact them. Does that answer the question? Right. So it's not the case that of all of the 545 people identified, we know that the parents don't know where their kids are. It means that the ACLU and the nonprofits haven't been able to reach them in order to ascertain what their knowledge is about the whereabouts of their children.
And I understand. Thanks for that call. I understand that, you know, in many cases, these parents are going back to the countries that they fled from, in some cases for fear of violence, are trying to maybe maintain a low profile. COVID-19 is going on. Those might be complicating factors in trying to reach them.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's also something that the ACLU points out in its status report.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Scott now in Menominee. Scott, hello.
Oh, hi. I have a question on, you know, when you say children, is there a certain age range that you would identify as children?
Yeah, under 18. And actually, I think six of the 545 whose parents can't be located, 60 are under the age of 6 when they were initially put into custody.
Thanks for the call, Scott, at 800-642-1234. What, Jackie, is the next step? This report is out. I assume that doesn't mean that the ACLU is stopping trying to get in touch with these parents?
No. I mean, what's occasioning the news coverage right now is that there was a status report that was filed with the court about, you know, how things stood in terms of the ACLU being able and the steering committee being able to locate the groups. And so the government and the ACLU filed an update with the court. And so the data that we have now are from that filing.
Let's bring on another caller. Will is with us in Eau Claire. Will, hello.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my question. What do you know about, at this point, about how many kids have been reunited? That's all I want to know. Thanks.
Well, I mean, there's tens of thousands of unaccompanied children who are in ORR custody who, you know, enter the United States and are under the age of 18 and don't have a sponsor or a parent when they arrive. So, in terms of the, you know, so let me back up a second. The policy of separating children from their parents was ended in 2018. So after 2018, if you were a parent arriving with your children, you would be put in a detention facility that was, that was a family shelter, or you would be released into the interior, and there wouldn't be any kind of separation. So the people we're talking about now are people who either arrived before the government stopped this policy based on a court order, or there are people who arrived after the policy was ended and there were different kinds of complications in a much smaller universe of cases, maybe because a parent was had a criminal warrant arrest, outstanding, or something that was, more specific and not part of a policy to separate parents and children.
Will, thanks a lot for calling in. Now, I know one argument in favor of this zero tolerance policy while it was going on and of publicizing it was that it was supposed to deter people from coming to the country, making the dangerous journey to the country and trying to enter illegally. What are the, I guess, legal ramifications if that was the case, if this was done intentionally as a deterrent?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's completely illegal to have that kind of policy put in place for purposes of deterrence. It is absolutely, it's a statutory right that people have to claim asylum in the United States. And, trying to do an end run around that law is illegal, and that's why the court ordered the government to stop doing it. If the United States wants to, you know, keep everybody out, then the United States, which I think would be a huge mistake, and would be, you know, violation of different kinds of treaties and commitments in the Geneva Conventions, if they want to do that, then they need to change the law. And you can't just have the government coming up with these unlawful end runs.
Speaking of, in my limited understanding, if somebody is entering the country claiming asylum, whether they enter at a, I think it's called a port of entry, a recognized entry point or not, it's not a crime if they're claiming asylum. Do I have that technically right?
Yes.
So what is happening now that you're watching when it comes to families arriving in the United States? You mentioned the separation policy, a separation policy not in place. What's happening? Are they being prevented from entering in the first place?
Well,
and what's happening
right
to those who
do? Now there's a whole other policies, and it's, I mean, I'm laughing. It's the Trump administration has turned the legal system into a joke. And, implemented so many policies that are inconsistent with the law that it's really created a huge problem for civil rights attorneys in the courts to try to sort it all out in a timely fashion that would be consistent with our ideas about the rule of law. And so a couple of things that have happened in recent months or years. First, there was this policy of preventing people from entering the United States in order to pursue their asylum claims and having them appear through televideo or make asylum applications within their countries of origin, which is, again, not lawful. And courts have ruled as such. And then a second thing that's happened more recently has been keeping people out because of COVID. And that there's been more success in the courts in using that as a means of excluding people from their prerogative to have immigration hearings and independent assessments of the legitimacy of their asylum claims. So right now, because of the pandemic, the Trump administration has asserted a lot of latitude to exclude people, and so that is keeping people from coming into the country. And so the numbers of people who are coming in right now are much, much lower than before the pandemic.
Jackie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Jacqueline Stevens is professor of political science and legal studies and founding director of the Deportation Research Clinic at Northwestern University. She joined us for a look at the recent report that the parents of over 500 children separated at the U.S.-Mexico border cannot be found.